We are in the middle of a sermon series entitled Dealings with Temptation. And I know that in all of our lives, you know, as long as we are sinful people, as long as we have sinful desires, we will experience temptation, or that feeling that, you know, we want to do something that is wrong, but then we know that we shouldn't. And as we had described last week, sometimes that feeling inside can feel as if it's like a war that's going on. Like there's a tug of war pulling us back and forth. And you know, we struggle with this type of temptation. In last week's message, we had started off this series by looking at how should we understand our struggle with temptation. And we had looked at the passage in Psalm chapter 73. And through Asaph's explanation of his temptation, we are able to see three things about why or even when we struggle with temptation. So we struggle with temptation when we doubt God's truth. We struggle with temptations when we misunderstand the reason for obeying God. And finally, we struggle with temptation when we lose the eternal aspect or the eternal perspective. So after we have this understanding of our struggle with temptation, for today's message, we're going to be talking about how can we overcome our temptations. And we know that this is a really real great need, especially if we desire to obey God, if we desire to bring Him glory and obey His law, then we want to be able to overcome our temptations. Now, I know in general, whenever we're going through a very hard time or a struggle, we would, you know, we like to talk with someone, right? We like to share with someone, especially who's close to us, who can understand what we're going through. Someone who can identify with us. Now, I think I told you probably a couple times before that when I was in high school, I used to be a lifeguard, and I used to teach a lot of kids swimming. So usually the class sizes I have are range from 5 to 10 little kids, and it's really hard to control all of them, especially when they're jumping around all over the place and can drown. But I had this one case where there's this child who was, it's a little girl, and she was really, really scared of the deep end of the water. I mean, she can swim a little bit, but because of her fear of the deep end, that prevented her from improving in her swimming. So her mother had came to me and then asked for a one-on-one lesson. So I agreed. So I took this little girl, and you know, she gets in the pool and she's just holding on to the wall and won't let go. She kept on telling me, the deep end is really scary. But actually she's pointing in the other direction where it's actually, the water's shallow. And no matter what I tried to do to try to coax her, she wouldn't let go of the wall. And then finally, I had to share with her my experience. Because many, many years ago, before I learned how to swim, when my mom had made me take swimming lessons, actually, I was like her, except even worse. Where I think the teacher had just pulled me off the wall, and then I would just be screaming and crying and disrupting the whole class, so basically my mom had to take me out. I mean, so I shared with her my experience of this, also the fear of the water, and how I was able to overcome that fear, and look at me now, I'm a lifeguard. Well, not anymore. But, so I shared this with this little girl, and because she saw that I was in the same place that she was before, and how I was able to identify with her fear, slowly she was able to build that trust in me. So I would make little promises, let's do the backstroke, and I'll promise I'll stay close to the wall, but then little by little I'll just go further and further away until she didn't realize that she was already close to the deep end area. So she was able to build that trust in me. And all that happened because she saw that I was able to identify with her situation. Now, for many of us here, I know that we wish that someone can understand what we're going through. Can someone know that hurt or that pain that's inside of me? You know, very often we can feel like we're just the only one. But I'm here to tell you that there is someone who can identify with you, who knows exactly what you're going through. And that is our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus, although, yes, he is fully God, but when he came down to this earth, he became also fully man. So as a man, he experienced a lot of things that we have experienced. He knows what it's like to feel hungry, to feel tired and sleepy. He knows what it's like to feel emotion, to feel angry at someone, to feel sadness because someone very close to him had passed away. He knows what it feels like to have someone betray him. And I think most of all, he knows what it feels like to be tempted. But the only difference between us and him is that Jesus will never experience what it's like to be sinful, because Jesus never sinned. And we will never know what it's like to be sinless. So Jesus Christ has experienced temptations. He can identify with what we are going through. You see, this is the greatest thing about why Jesus is able to identify with us. And the main thing is because he is our Savior. See, Jesus didn't come down to this earth to identify with animals. He didn't come down to this earth to identify with angels, to save those type of things. But no, he came down on this earth to identify with us in our situations. And he was able to show that he was able to overcome those things. That is the reason why he is qualified to die on the cross and be the Savior of our sins. So how should we overcome our temptations? Let's follow Jesus' example. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 to 11. Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 to 11. But for context, I'm going to start reading from chapter 3, verse 13. Okay, starting from chapter 3, verse 13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." And then he consented. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." Chapter 4, verse 1. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Verse 5. Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Verse 8. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these I give to you, if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Begone, Satan, For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you that we have this time to look into your word. And I pray that you open our eyes and open our hearts, Lord. Thank you for showing us that you are a Savior who loves us. And you can identify with us in our situations. And just as you have been able to overcome temptation and not be able to sin, Father, I pray that you show us how we can also do the same, how we can follow your example. Because we desire to glorify you, we desire to worship you, and we desire to understand, Lord. I ask of you to break down our hearts, Lord, and give us understanding. We thank you and lift these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So like we've said before, Jesus has experienced temptation. After his baptism, he was sent into the wilderness, and for 40 days and 40 nights, he fasted, or he didn't eat anything at all. Now, I think for many of us, after like even one day, without eating food, we would already feel like nauseated and stuff. So Jesus must be feeling very, very hungry. And the purpose of this fasting was, this is right before he was beginning his earthly ministry. So this fasting was to help him prepare for that. And Satan came to tempt him. Because if Jesus was able to fall into sin, then he is not our Savior. He's not the Son of God. And he's trying to hinder him, especially in his ministry. Because Jesus' goal is to get on the cross and die for our sins, to be the Savior of the world. So you can imagine how Jesus may be feeling right now without eating for so long. And Satan was like, hey Jesus, are you hungry? Why don't you turn these stones into bread? But there's one particular phrase that he mentioned as he made this temptation. Let's read verse 3. And the tempter came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. He said, if you are the Son of God. What is Satan trying to do? He's trying to make Jesus doubt about his identity, about who he is as the Son of God. But what just happened before Jesus was sent into the wilderness? We read about Jesus' baptism. And during his baptism, we hear God the Father say and proclaim, this is my Son, whom I love. So God the Father had already made the proclamation and said who Jesus is. He already gave him that identity. But Satan right here is trying to make him doubt that. So once again, in this passage, we're seeing three things that we need to remember in order to be able to follow Jesus' example to overcome temptation. So this is point number one. We need to remember your identity in Christ. To overcome temptation as Jesus did, we need to remember our identity in Christ. This past week, I was back home in Boston. So after last Sunday, I driven back to visit my family for the New Year's. And apparently, my mom was making the whole family go on this type of a diet or like detox. So basically, they can't eat meat or any sweets or anything, just vegetables. But good thing I was exempt from that type of diet. So I came home and my brother, apparently he was very, very like devastated because he hadn't been eating meat for a couple of days. Whenever my mom serves food, he would just be like, I'm not hungry anymore. So that's almost as equivalent as not eating any food at all. And later, like, my mom had caught him looking at pictures of food on the internet. That's how devastated he was. At the same time, I want to thank all of you, especially for those who had given me chocolates for a Christmas gift. I brought those home, and I on purposely ate them in front of him. And I was even, like, those Ferrara Rocher, like, chocolates taste like Nutella inside. I even went to the point, and I was like, hey, Javon, that's my brother's name, could you open this wrapper for me? I can't get it off. So I was tempting him to, you know, break his diet, which was very mean of me. But I know my brother, he didn't like give in to all of that. I think he felt more angry more than anything. But the reason why he didn't give in to that temptation is because he knew who he was. He was the son of my mother, and my mother wanted him to stay on this diet, and being a good son, he wanted to honor and obey him. So likewise, when we are experiencing our temptations, we need to remember who our identity is in Christ. Now, Satan will tell us, you're the only one who's doing this. You call yourself a Christian? Why? How can a Christian even like think that way? Or how can a Christian even sin that way? He'll make us try to doubt our identity and about who we are in Christ. What did, as a believer, as a Christian, what did Christ do for us? Christ died on the cross for our sins. Something very precious has to be paid for our life so that we can have eternal life with God. Think about it this way. There is nothing that you could ever do that can make God love you any less. There's nothing that you can ever do that would make God love you any less. That is our identity. That is what we get because we have fellowship with God, because we have this relationship with God. And, I mean, it's not that we should misuse it and be like, oh, that means I can sin whatever I want. And because I know that God gives us grace and he'll always forgive us. Yes, that's true. But if we really understand that God loves us, if we understand this identity, then part of loving God back is to obey him. And if we forget our identity, that is why or another reason why we struggle with our temptations. Our identity sort of dictates our actions. Just like I used to be a lifeguard, and as a lifeguard, I'm supposed to, you know, save kids if they're drowning. If you are the avatar, the master of all four elements, you're supposed to be the balance between the spirit world and the real world. If you are the son of God, who Jesus is, he is supposed to be the one who is sinless, even though he has been tempted. And he goes to the cross to die for our sins. So Jesus remembered who he was. So he resisted Satan's temptation right there. Now, what else can we do to follow Jesus' example to overcome temptation? Let us see how Jesus responds. So once again, Satan was tempting Jesus. First he said, turn these stones into bread. What did Jesus do? Read verse 4. But he, Jesus, answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. So Jesus was quoting scripture. And that one in particular was Deuteronomy 8:3. When Satan tempted him next, he's from the top of the temple, throw yourself down so the angels can catch you. Jesus quoted Deuteronomy 6:16. You shall not put the Lord your God to the test. And then finally, when Satan was tempting Jesus to bow down to him so that he can be able to have power over all these kingdoms, what did Jesus do? He quoted scripture again. quote of Deuteronomy 6:13, you shall worship the Lord your God with him only, and only shall you serve him. This is something amazing that I realize about what Jesus is doing. No, even though Jesus, he's God, he didn't use any divine powers to overcome Satan. He didn't shoot lightning bolts down at Satan and tell him to go away. He didn't call down fire. He didn't create this giant earthquake. What he did was quote and use the word of God, which, hey, is available to each and every one of us. So our second point, what do we need to remember in order to follow Jesus' example to overcome temptation? Number two, we should remember to respond by using God's word. Remember to respond by using God's word. If you were here last Friday during our Bible study, we studied James 3. And part of the discussion that we were having was about our speech. So let's say that you are tempted to, you know, cuss out at someone or make them feel bad. You can be able to quote scripture. Ephesians 4:29 says, let no corrupt talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. That's an example of using scripture. Let's say that we're tempted about worrying about whatever situation that we're going through. We don't know what to do. Once again, we can quote scripture, something that God has given us. 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. So when facing like our temptations, I know that, as we described before, we feel that there's this struggle that's inside of us, like a war, like even a tug of war that's going inside, and it really hurts. Now, in any type of battle, what do we need? We need a weapon. We need a sword. So in Ephesians chapter 6, when we're talking about the armor of God, the Bible says that scripture, this thing that we all have, is the sword of the Spirit. So a sword is an offensive weapon. It's something that we use to combat temptations. If you're holding two Bibles in your hand, you're dual wielding. And it doesn't mean that after service, I don't want to see you guys running around the church trying to fight each other with sword Bibles. No, that's not the application here. We use the Word of God as a sword, but to fight our spiritual battles, to fight temptation. Another thing that I would suggest that we should be able to do. We don't fight the spiritual battle almost like as if it's a turn-based video game, like Pokemon, where you make a move and then the other person makes a move. I don't know, you're just using like the Pokemon narration. Satan used deception. Oh no, Jesus was tempted to use to turn stone into bread. But then Jesus used Deuteronomy 8:16. Man shall not live by bread alone. It's super effective. It's not that type of a turn-by-turn based. We can use scripture whenever. Now, don't use scripture only in the situations when you are being tempted. Use scripture all the time to remind yourself about what God says in his word. I think there's one more thing that this passage will teach us concerning about how to overcome temptation. And that comes from when we actually understand why Satan was tempting Jesus. So let's talk about the story again. Jesus was sent into the wilderness and he was tempted by Satan. First thing was that he was hungry and Satan tempted him to turn these stones into bread. Now, hunger is a desire that Jesus has. And food is good. A lot of times, the things that we are tempted about are good things. It is good for Jesus to have food. He needs that energy for his body. Now, what about the second temptation? So after that, after Jesus resisted that temptation, Satan took Jesus to the top of a temple in Jerusalem. Now, why is it a temptation for like Jesus? Why did Satan tell Jesus to throw himself down so that the angels can catch him? Well, think about it this way. What is Jesus' purpose? Jesus came so that he can be revealed to everyone as the Messiah, as the true Son of God. If Jesus listened to Satan at this point in time and threw him down and have angels pick him up, then all those around him who witnesses this would automatically say, yeah, he is the Messiah. And they would know then and there. So it was a good thing. It's a good thing for Jesus to be known as the Messiah. That's why Satan was tempting him. But at the same time, it was not the right way to go about it. This isn't what God will. This isn't what God has planned. And by the way, when Satan tempted Jesus, if we notice, Satan used scripture as well. He was like, oh, you like to quote scripture? Well, I can quote scripture as well. Satan said, quoted Psalm 91. It says, he will command the angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. So it's true that God will protect us, that God will protect Jesus. But you see, something we have to be careful of too. Satan was twisting scripture. Because, I mean, just because we know that we should, that God will protect us from danger, doesn't mean that we should live our lives dangerously. It doesn't mean that we should just throw ourselves in front of the road and let a car hit us. That's exactly what Satan was telling Jesus to do by having him jump off the temple. Let's look at the third temptation. So if Satan all of a sudden brought Jesus to the highest point in the mountain where you can be able to look around and see all the kingdoms. And he said, Jesus, everything the light touches is our kingdom. And if you bow down to me, I will give you power over all these things. What was the desire there? The desire is to have power, for Jesus to rule all over the earth. That is a good thing, right? But once again, even though it's a good thing, but what's the way that Satan was trying to go about it is not God's will. We know that when Jesus comes back for the second coming, defeats Satan, defeats all of evil, and restores a new kingdom on earth, then he will be fully reigning. So number three on what should we remember if we want to follow Jesus' example for overcoming temptation. We need to remember to seek God's provisions for your desires. Remember to seek God's provision for your desires. Let's say that we are tempted to get revenge on someone. There's this friend who did something very horrible to us, and it made us look like a fool in front of everyone else. And we're tempted to do something to get back at them. Now, what is our desire? What is the temptation that's leading us to get to? Well, we're desiring justice, right? We want everyone to get what they deserve. Justice is a good thing. We need to understand that. But at the same time, is it the right, by getting revenge on them, by also making them feel bad, is that the right way to get about that justice? No, God says that vengeance is mine. God is the one who will judge everyone. God will bring justice for us. That is his provision. Now, let's talk about a different type of temptation. Let's say that we lust. We are tempted to look at pornography. And we have this like type of desire. You know, sex is a good thing. God created us humans to enjoy sex, and it's, the purpose of it is to procreate, to have children as well. That desire is a good thing. But however, when we try to go about it, when we fall into temptation and get it other ways, whether it is looking at pornography or whether it is having an affair, that is the wrong way about getting what that desire that God had given us. We need to trust that God will be able to provide for all of our desires. If we don't believe that, if we know that we have all these needs and all these desires, then most likely we'll fall into temptation. We'll go try to get it in other ways as well. Name any type of temptation, and I bet we can be able to identify a specific desire which is good, which God had created us to want. And if God designed us with a certain desire, shouldn't He, as a designer, as a provider, also provide the ways to fulfill that desire? What happened after Jesus resisted all of Satan's temptations and Satan left him? Read verse 11. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. So after that temptation, God had sent divine help to go through our temptations. And I mean, this isn't necessarily saying that each one of us has a specific guardian angel or something. I don't think the Bible has evidence of that. But it does show that God will provide for us, especially if we're struggling with a particular type of sin. Now, what is the application here? I think one of the biggest applications we should do, especially to encourage one another, we should share our testimonies with one another about how God has worked in our lives. Share about how you were struggling with this type of sin, or you're going through this type of situation. And then, what did God do for you? How did He come through and provide for you? If we share these type of testimonies and praise God in that way, we're constantly reminding one another that God is sufficient enough for us. Together, we can be able to help one another overcome any of our temptations. Now, let us review once again what this passage has taught us. So we saw three things that we need to remember to follow Jesus' example of how He overcome temptation. Remember, Jesus identifies with us. He understands what we have gone through. So isn't He the best example to follow? So first, we have talked about how we need to remember our identity in Christ. Just as Jesus was, just as Satan was trying to get him to doubt about his identity, we can also doubt about our identity. Second, we need to remember to respond by using God's word. God's word is a sword. Just as Jesus used God's word to combat Satan's temptation, we also need to do that. This means that we should spend more time in God's word. This is how we build our relationship with Christ. And I would also encourage us to memorize scripture as well. This is the tool that God has given us to not only know Him, but to overcome temptation. And finally, number three, as we had just talked about, we need to remember how to seek God's provisions for our desires. And I want to encourage you all. God didn't just give this message in His word for us to just listen and be like, yeah, that's cool. He wants us to apply what we have learned. And I think like one of the biggest encouragements for me is like, I think it was John chapter 16 when Jesus has said, "Behold, I have overcome the world." Jesus has overcome everything, including sin and temptation. And through Him, we can also do that as well. Let us pray. Thank you. Dear Heavenly Father, we come and bow down before you. And at this time, I ask of you to examine our hearts. Once again, maybe we do experience temptations in our lives, and there's something that's going on right now. I pray that from what you have taught us today, that you help us apply what we have learned. Help us use your word as a sword to be able to overcome temptation. Help us to remember that you will provide for us, because you do love us, Lord. Help us remember who we are in you. I know that there are so many things that can just burden us, Lord. And we can feel very discouraged. But how much more discouraged did you felt, Lord? Because you've experienced these types of temptation as well. It's comforting to know that you understand us, that you know what we're going through. That's why we can come before you, Lord. Father, we trust you. We renew our lives to you as well. And as we sing this next song and respond in worship, Lord, may that be true. May the words that we sing be the actual words that our hearts are saying. Father, just thank you so much for everything that you've done in our lives. We lift these things in Jesus' name.